Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, one of the greatest musicians of all time, died in debt. His music still lives on. A lot of musicians' birthdays today, great conductors, music conductors. We have Lewis Carroll, birthday today. Remember, he wrote Alice in Wonderland. Some people are still in Wonderland. And if you wonder where S&M comes from, the term S&M, sadomasochism, Leopold von Sacher-Masoch invented the terms, I guess a psychologist, and he was born in 1836. That's how far back this goes. One of the great federal appellate judges, there were two brothers, I guess they were Jewish heritage, 1872, Judge Leonard Hahn was born. Great Austrian, I think he was Jewish heritage, wrote Showboat, many Roberta, many great Broadway shows. There was a movie with Van Heflin about Jerome Kern. And then the patron of Jimmy Carter, born in Chicago, Admiral Hyman Rickover was born today. And then the Hearst, who started the Hearst newspapers and later became magazines, and other media entities. He was born today in 1908. And the film Citizen Kane, which is a classic about newspapering and journalism. I'm going to play that clip about what Orson Welles got into trouble about this, and Hearst hated the film. But this is what they thought, at least William Randolph Hearst started as his philosophy about reporting the news. And what is journalism? So here's that clip from Citizen Kane.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Charles, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this armada's off the Jersey
Coast. Hello, Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can you
Kane.
Prove it isn't?
This just
Mr. Bernstein, in. I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just follow
how do you do, Mr.
Leland.
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian. We have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Inquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop.
Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
So,
right away.
I came to see you about this campaign of yours.
Sinclair campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes,
that you are yourself one of the largest individual stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's...
On the other hand, I am the publisher of the Enquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hard-working people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes.
And that would
money
be too
property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy. Don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This Enquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Well, that was from the clip, Citizen Kane, from the audio soundtrack, and, of course, part of the Western Public Radio, the KLW, and Veritas, Amicus Veritas, Berzola, Carson Berzola Historical Audio Media Archives. One of the other birthdays today, famous writer who wrote rather erotic writings, Alexandria Quartet. One of the phrases in the Alexandria Quartet about Egypt, the Great Wine Press of Love. Great film starring Anouk, beautiful, gorgeous woman. It starred in the film Justine, which is one of the books in the poor books in the Alexandria Quartet by Lawrence Durrell. Great, he's a classic musician and a pop musician. Skitch Henderson, birthday today. None of you remember those movies with that young Indian boy, Sabu? He was born today. And a great Canadian author who wrote about Canadian Jews or Canadians of Jewish heritage, St. Urbain. It's a big section in Montreal, Canada. Mordecai Rickler was born today. And then a guy who he's a vegetarian, I understand, and he starred as Prince Philip in the movie Queen with the gorgeous actress who played Queen Elizabeth II. James Cromwell was born today. And a Russian emigre, great ballet dancer, and now he did some movies with Hackman, Gene Hackman, Mikhail Baryshnikov, born today. Another controversial newsman. I know where he gets his ideas about gay marriage and all of that. Keith Olbermann, born today. Among the guests today, we have Hieronymus Pretorius, whose music is very popular. He's German, and kind of interesting. He died today, and Mozart was born today on this date. And he was composer of a lot of Baroque music, Pretorius. And then, if you want to go to the birds, John James Audubon died today. And then here's a presidential candidate about the time of Grover Cleveland, James G. Blaine. His mother may have been Roman Catholic. He wasn't, I don't think, or didn't practice, as far as we know. But he ran for president, and the Democrats, against Grover Cleveland, and the Republicans' war cry then, you think it's dirty now. Grover Cleveland had an illegitimate child. He was governor of New York, and the Republicans' battle cry was, Ma, where's my pa? He's in the White House. Ha, ha, ha. The Democrats replied on James G. Blaine, the biggest liar from the state of Maine. So you know, they really gets down in the gutter, even though some of these things are true. He died today anyway. James G. Blaine was also Secretary of State. a great German conductor. He was, his son is also was also a conductor, Carlos Kleiber, Eric Kleiber died today. He was one of those great German musicians who fled Nazi Germany rather than conduct and play music for the Nazis and Herr Adolf. And then we had Mahalia Jackson, a great black gospel singer. She died today. And then we had this terrorist, or that's how he was thought of, Colonel Georgios Grievous in Cyprus. A lot of problems with that island after the British left. And here's a great character actor who played communists and thugs, Oscar Homolka, born died today. And talking about football, college football, the paternal people are still thinking about the Joe Paterno problem. Well, Bear Bryant, Alabama, another winning team, he died today. And then this is a very strange guy. I discussed it with some of my connections. Halsey Colchester, he was with M16, which is the British Secret Service military intelligence or intelligence service. They recruited spies. After he quit the spy service, or if he ever quit, they say you never leave, he became an Anglican priest. And so an interesting name, Halsey, which is the name of Admiral Bull Halsey, the deputy to Chester Nimitz in the Pacific. And he's, well, Bull Halsey, by the way, I don't think he was related to Halsey Colchester. And then among the events today, the greatest of the Russian czars, in my opinion, Peter the Great, no pun intended, he started the first state budget for Russia. He really tried to modernize the country and organize its finances. And then the first state charter university was started in Georgia, Athens, Georgia, great university. And then this is an issue now with these green people. Edison on this date invented or patented the incandescent electric light bulb. Now we're being told we can't use these and they can't be manufactured anymore until they're offering us these so-called less wattage bulbs, which have mercury and these things catch fire. And of course, you know, the Edison incandescent bulbs, which were invented, patented in 1880, have never caused these problems. Interesting, isn't it? And then the Social Democratic Party, Eugene Debs, he went to prison during World War I because he opposed the war. He was American. They had their first convention. And then this is a continuing problem with South America. In 1915, the United States Marines first occupied Haiti. Now, my friend Drew Raines, his uncle, was a general who complained he was involved in this occupation of Haiti and complained about how the military had been used to further and protect the economic interests of some of the major industrialists and exploiters of foreign economies, like bananas down in South America, oil. So this is still a problem today because that's one of the issues of why we went into Iran to protect Iraq, rather, to protect our oil interests. And then the Communist Party in Germany published the first of the Spartacus letters. That's, I guess they used Spartacus, the Roman slave gladiator who led a revolt against the Roman Republic or the Roman Empire. And, of course, on stars and on DVDs, they have the second version of Spartacus. The first version and movie starred Laurence Olivier as Crassus, who later defeated Spartacus, and then Kirk Douglas played Spartacus, and Tony Curtis was also in that movie. And it had a homoerotic scene in it when Tony Curtis was bathing Crassus, Laurence Olivier. And it was a 1960s film, so they couldn't be that upfront about it, no pun intended. And then on this date, Lenin died or was dead, and they placed him in the mausoleum and took all the air out so everybody could visit and see Lenin as he was in just before when he died. I understand they took Lenin's corpse, what was left of it, out of the Kremlin, and we don't know where it is. It probably went back to dust. And then an affair, a financial affair that wrecked one of the governments in France and was a major financial manipulation and scandal, the Stavisky affair. In fact, the film came out starring Jean-Paul Belmondo. And then here was a Portuguese spy, Riviera Schreiber. I didn't have enough time to look him up, but in January of 1941, he was another one who warned that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. Of course, we didn't listen, or we did listen and wait for them to do it, so that would give us pretense to go to war on the, against Japan. And then this guy in 1945, I don't know who he is, Wally Van Hall was a banker who defied the government. That was at the time of World War II. And then we had talk about presidential politics, the political animal, which was one of our features. Margaret Chase Smith, the senator from Maine, who also chastised Senator Joe McCarthy. She announced she was going to run for the Republican presidential nomination. And then this is very important. It has a lot of relevance to the Vietnam War. President Carter in 1977 pardoned the draft dodgers and the draft evaders, those who had fled to Canada and Sweden and other countries who didn't extradite American draft dodgers. And part of my work in World War, in the Vietnam War, volunteer work was to counsel and advise would-be deserters, AWOLs, and people who were going to evade the draft. And I warned them that if you fled to Canada or to Sweden, you can never come back. Well, it turns out that Jimmy Carter said you can't come back, all is forgiven. And this is one of the things that the veterans who were served in Vietnam said, that, you know, these rich kids, a lot of them were rich or well off. Their parents provided the tickets for them to flee the country. There's been this bitterness that still rankles the poor whites and blacks and other ethnics who served in Vietnam and who lost their limbs or were subject to the ravages of Agent Orange. So it's still there. It's the wounds have never healed, and it's something that we should still think about. And of course, it has a connection to issues that are going on here in San Francisco and in California with the radical left, which hates our military and does everything they can to violate the rights and privacy of American military personnel. And, of course, the Steve Murray case is an example of that. And we'll be putting more up. We're going to release the rest of relevant documents on that. So also today, this is really relevant. I'm surprised that none of the Republican candidates have brought this up. Excuse me, still have a slight cold. What is the meaning of a republic? And I think this is really important, that we need to get back to define what we want, what we expect. And I don't think people are worried about, concerned about going to the moon in 2020 when we can't even survive down here in 2012 and 2011. So I think this clip from the archives is very important. Let me find it here. And the media people should be asking questions. What is your vision for your presidency if you are nominated and elected? And I think, we need to nail these people down instead of all the backbiting about you own this, you own that. In a way, that's part of the past, and it's really not going to deal with the economic problems that we have today and the public policy issues that we should be discussing. That where are we at and where are we going to go? What do people expect and how are we going to get there? So let me find that here. And also today is the death of the great Italian composer Giuseppe Verdi, Johnny Green in English. Verdi is green. And what happened here? We have also birthdays of Franklin Roosevelt and General Douglas MacArthur. We'll play those Monday, some of the excerpts. And I can't find what happened to our republic here. So this is something that we should start thinking about. that instead of nailing these candidates down, where are we really? Where are we going? Can we get there? And never mind this moonbeam stuff. That's what we call Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam, when he ran for president. He won't be going much further. I think that he has cancer. He doesn't look very good. And, excuse me. So these are issues that people bring up to these candidates when they come around shaking hands. And also, now I understand the debate is between Newt Gingrich, who was adopted, I understand, and Romney, and the handlers, shall we put it that way, like you had Karl Rove, who claimed on Fox TV that there is no such thing as a Republican establishment, yet we have... Ed Rollins, who worked for Ronald Reagan, who was a real hardball conservative consultant, said that there is an establishment and that there's always been this fight between the Republicans, what they call the Henry Salvatore, Southern California Republicans. Henry Salvatore was a very wealthy auto dealer who backed conservatives here in California. And Ronald Reagan upset what is known as the Rockefeller control of the East Coast Republicans, the, quote, liberals, moderates, and that's what Romney's supposed to be. And there's always been this fight. And when Ronald Reagan won in 1980, a lot of people were pissed off in the East because of their domination, their hammerlock on the Republican Party was broken and for two terms. And some say that that's one of the reasons that there was an attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. We don't know, but that was the charge made at the time. But now we have Romney, who his father, George Romney, was supposedly born in Mexico, Mormon missionary. He still has relatives down there today, and so there's. But he is as governor of Massachusetts, he's seen as a Massachusetts. A moderate a Massachusetts Republican liberal. And Gingrich is supposed to be this conservative from Georgia, but there's, I don't know, Nancy Pelosi made some outstanding charge, or some people think it's outrageous, that she's got some dirt on Gingrich. And it'd be interesting to find out what that dirt is, considering the dirt that people have on her as the investor in the biggest drug bust in America, $1 billion worth of heroin was discovered in a warehouse in Hayward, California, and was all over the web and the news at the time. I happened to be sitting in Channel 2 at the time preparing for an interview, and we'll put up what we know about that warehouse, and Nancy Pelosi and others were investors in that warehouse, a thing called the Hayward Exchange, and we don't know, is that where she got her money? She owns a winery, and of course the wine is mediocre and overpriced, typical. So, she's got her own dirt, to say the least. And of course, her embracing the NAMLA agenda and going to their functions and that sort of thing. Other people think that she may have Alzheimer's or withdrawal from cocaine, if that's what she's taking or has taken. We don't know for sure. But one thing, people think that she should retire. Nobody's indispensable. Now, getting back to also one of our topics, the Sheriff Mayor Karimi wife abuse case. This case is of national importance because how can a public official, especially someone who wants to be law enforcement, abuse his wife and then be expected to uphold the laws, especially with regard to the rights of women and children who have been abused? And this case is of national importance because Mayor Karimi's wife, whether she knows it or not, now realizes it or not, opened the door to abuse of women in her home country, Venezuela. They have a law down there to protect women, but there have been an estimated 4,500 women complain of abuse. There have been rape. We don't know if there have been any murders. And Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch have also documented this. There's some controversy about those two organizations, but there seems to be credibility to these charges. And that there is this law in the books, but the Venezuelan court system, the police do not enforce the law to protect Venezuelan women. And that's another reason it's important. because Mirakarimi made the comment that the whole matter is private. Well, if he is a closet Muslim and embraced Sharia, then under Sharia law, the Muslim law, that he has a right to abuse his wife and children, you know, and there's no penalty in their faith, or there's no retribution or anything, that women and children are chattel. Now, also, another San Francisco scandal, which is of national importance, is 2 years ago, there was this New Year's Eve brawl involving two on leave, U.S. Marines, 18-year-olds who were from San Francisco, one was at least, and they had the brawl with these Yaley Whiffenpoop singers who had come from Sacramento, and some of them were underage and were allegedly drunk when they got to this party to be held in San Francisco, and there was a confrontation and a brawl, and the homosexuals in San Francisco demanded that Marine General in Southern California turn over this Marine to be tried in San Francisco. This was in the homosexual papers, the Bay Reporter, male prostitution papers that features all kinds of S&M and other disgusting sexual practices that we don't want to talk about. Well, again, they ignored the fact that Governor Schwarzenegger did not request the U.S. Navy Secretary to turn over these Marines. And he didn't have to, the Secretary of the Navy at the time, SECNAV, didn't have to comply with that. There's no way a governor can force a federal cabinet official to do anything. And, of course, Schwarzenegger didn't ask for that Marine to be turned over. And then the Marine was shipped out to Okinawa. And we'll bring that up. But in the Steve Nery case, U.S. Navy sailor, they forged documents to get him off the ship and abused him for 3.5 years. And Mirakarimi had worked in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office at the time. We don't know if he had anything to do with the abuse of that U.S. Navy sailor. Now, the War Horse movie, a lot of people are, some of the critics are critical of Spielberg's technique of linking sequences together. But historically, if you want to understand why we had World War II and also the Boer War, which came up mentioned in there, the problems in South Africa today originate from that war when the British tried to exercise total control over that part of South Africa, or the South Africa, which had been settled by Protestants from Huguenots from France and the Dutch Calvinists from Holland back in the 17th century. And the British tried to control all of Africa, at least that part. And there was this war called the Boer War. And the British sent the army in. They are the ones that the British are the first ones to set up concentration camps. It wasn't the Italians. It wasn't the Germans. It wasn't the Russians. It was the British. And they did horrible things to the Boers. And today, the Boers got even. The Afrikaans, as they call them, had this what they call apartheid, the separation of the races. There was a mix, people who were of Indian and black African heritage, ethnicity, and then there were the Indians, and always separation of the races. And I understand from someone who just came back from South Africa, who was there several months, said that there are gated communities in their major, some of their major cities, that they have cops and you can't come in there, guards, because of all the crime and the violence that still goes on. And we'll bring up a British officer who survived World War I battles of Gallipoli and the Battle of the Somme. We'll be back Monday, and near the end of the month, and so we'll end with our usual. I guess they haven't taken me up on the sitting down and having the game of poker to decide who's going to get the nomination of the Republican Party. So here goes.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you see?
possible flush? Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use?